Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And again, that service department at Sunbury Motors, open and doing great work. All right. And they do great work. They have a great service department there. You know, you always want the trust and reliability in the service department you pick. They fit into that category, and they're a perfect example of it. All right, great to have you. I'm Matt, welcome. Always good to have you on the other end.
Always good to hear you on the other end, Steve Jones.
And Larry Anderson on today, huh?
Yeah, big show today. Tony DeFazio, Larry Anderson. We got James Franklin coming up in a little bit. We got a lot going on today.
Yeah, so a lot going on today. We're looking forward to that very, very much. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll get into it. We're also going to have on the coming up tomorrow, Tyler Donahue, 24/7 Sports. We're going to touch on recruiting. Tomorrow's another big recruiting day, believe it or not, for Penn State. Big day tomorrow. So we'll find out. Somebody's making an announcement tomorrow. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. We'll get into that on the show tomorrow. Here, Kyle McCloskey has decided to put his name into the transfer portal for Penn State basketball. In the last month to 5 weeks of the season, Kyle McCloskey, I thought, practiced really, really well. Was playing the best basketball, I thought, of his career, but he couldn't break into this lineup. It tells you about the depth of the lineup that Penn State has. Kyle was playing really well. The McCloskey family is a great family. His sister was a great athlete here, Kyle's sister. His parents, of course, everybody knows about Mike. His parents were great people to have here. Kyle wants to play. I mean, he wants to play. And that's what anybody wants. Anybody wants, if they're in that situation, they want to be in a situation where they have the ability to contribute. And I don't blame him for one second. I had a feeling that he was going to. I believe that the scholarship he was on is being a former walk-on. He was on a one-year scholarship. You know, they did the Big Ten and so forth. They have four-year scholarships. But when you're in that situation as a walk-on, they're one-year deals. And he knew that going in. He will not be at a Power 5 team when this is over with, in all likelihood. He will step down a level on this, but whomever gets him is going to get a good player. If I had to pick one area where Kyle has to be better, Kyle has to be a better free throw shooter. Even in practice, he still struggles at the free throw line, and it frustrates him. I know it does. But you watch him play the last 4 weeks in practice, man, he practiced really well, really hard, and practiced, I felt, with an edge to him. So that does open up a scholarship on the Penn State basketball roster. Also, we mentioned yesterday how Daniel Arturo opted for the NBA draft. Also, Kyra Lewis and John Petty, both from Alabama, have opted for the NBA draft. But they both say that they're going to go through the process. Not what the process looks like. We have no idea. This is a year unlike any other. And they made the decision to go in. Now, some people think Lewis And I've talked about Kyra Lewis before on the show. And after seeing him in back-to-back years, he has the speed, the shot, the whole deal. He's a big-time look to him. No question. They think he's an early second-round pick. Petty, Petty has a really good outside shot, but he'll leave the door open to going back. Also, Xavier Tillman has announced that he has opted for the NBA draft. Same story with him, though, is he's going to leave his options open. Now, Tillman is a good player. It's no getting around. He's a great defensive player, rebounder. You saw him at the Jordan Center. He's been like that for 2 years. The part about him that is the issue is he's married with two children. And married with two children also means that he has responsibilities. Can he afford to stay in school another year? He did leave it open, though. He did leave it open, by the way, to going back, which I think is smart. I think, especially in this time frame, leave your options open. So he's going to leave his options open. Lewis will leave his options open. Petty will leave his options open. Alan Griffin, who is a fabulous three-point shooter for Illinois. I mean, he is a tremendous three-point shooter. Put his name into the transfer portal. Now, here's the issue. You say, well, he is a tremendous three-point shooter. He says, why wasn't he starting? And so, well, here's the reason why. He's not a good defender. I mean, for Brad Underwood, that's the tough part. He couldn't play him as often as he wanted to because Griffin was not a good defensive player. So we're just giving you some names that have put their name into the transfer portal, which there are now, I think, about 350 in college basketball that have put their names into the transfer portal. So that is something that is continuing, despite the fact that this is an unusual time. Let's see. We will hear from James Franklin, by the way, in the last half hour from this teleconference he's doing today. See, what I like about Matt is, it's on Zoom. And Matt knew exactly what to do when it came on Zoom. That's well done.
Hey, I'm always on it.
I've had this general thought process. As you know, I've been teaching on Zoom.
That's right.
If I can figure that out, and I figured it out on my own. I did not ask.
There you go. Well done.
If I can figure that out, you can figure it out. That's always the standard I have. So, I think one of the things that you'll hear right away is out of the teleconference today with good James. I'm sure he's going to address Matt Kippenhammer. But look, this has been this is something that has been an ongoing conversation between Matt Kippenhammer and James Franklin. They've gone through this for 2 years, and it's been shifting in the baseball direction. After he went through last spring playing baseball, I really thought there was a possibility he may just stay on baseball. I really did. And I could just tell he was anxious to get back to baseball in the bowl preparations. Just could tell. And so that will be one of the areas that he talks about, I'm sure, today in that teleconference will be about Matt Kippenhammer's decision to focus on baseball, which means now he will be baseball's responsibility on the scholarship side, however they work it out. That opens the door as Penn State gets closer to 85 when it's all said and done. I think they're at 87 scholarships right now on the football side. So we're just trying to give you updates on what's going on with the various sports. You know, we all know Cam Newton is a free agent right now, and Dominican Sue's going back to Tampa Bay. You know, things like that. Anthony Zettel is going back to the Detroit Lions after playing with the 49ers. And yes, Anthony did play in the Super Bowl. A few plays, but he did play in the Super Bowl in February. And after everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks, that Super Bowl feels like it was 10 years ago. I think something that will need to be discussed on the NCAA level, but they can't, you know, I think you can only brainstorm about ideas right now. You cannot come up with hard and fast rules, but there are going to be after a number of things that are discussed by people. At some point, you're going to have to brainstorm some ideas. Once you start to figure out when it is okay to start getting back to certain activities, how do you handle it? So let's talk about the football part of it for a moment, or any fall sport. I don't care whether it is soccer, cross country, volleyball, field hockey, football, whatever it may be. All of them have, now cross country doesn't it? Cross country, of course, has a track team, usually. But they all have spring practice. Do you then, in, for example, say you feel comfortable about, say you feel more comfortable about life, let's pick out a date, May 1st, which is 5 weeks, a little 5 weeks away, right? A little bit more than 5 weeks away. 5.5 weeks away is May 1st. If you feel more comfortable about that, do you then start to say to coaches, hey, let's brainstorm some ideas. You didn't have spring practice. Maybe we'll allow you to have a 2-week mini camp. Maybe you can do the 2-week mini camp in June, or maybe you can do the 2-week mini camp in July and then give the players 2 weeks off. Whatever. I think you have to do something to allow the coaches to then have direct contact with the players. And I think it's important. It'll be important. It's going to be important for all of us to get back. It may be still distancing for a period of time, but it's going to be important for us to get back to some sort of routine along the way. I mean, even Lawrence misses the suit.
And you know, when Lawrence misses you, you know it's something's up.
And Lawrence misses, even he misses the suit.
He's not an emotional guy, that Mark Lawrence.
No, but it's like, well, you know, I haven't seen my buddy in a while. And it's, of course, we all came across, I like your buddy. but we're all going to want to be around people again. Teams are going to want to be around each other again. You know, in a sports world, fans, not all of them. Look, not all of them are going to want to be around. There are going to be some people that are very cautious coming out of this. Very cautious. But there's also going to be a group of people out there that are going to want to be around other people. They're going to want to tailgate. They're going to want to get out there. And there's going to be another group that's going to say, I don't know. Now, there's also going to be a group of people that may say, hey, you know what? After everything that's happened this spring, I think I need a year financially to get myself back on my feet, too. I mean, so there's going to be many different categories to this. But in the world of teams and team sport, when I'm talking about a mini camp, because I think that there's going to be some people that are going to want to get it. And a two-week mini camp, no pads. But a two-week mini camp might be a way to go. The problem is you can't make any hard and fast decisions on any of this. You can't make a decision on anything right now because, as expected, look, it's expected, please. All right? We talked about this last week. We said this was going to be probably a bad week, right? Well, no surprise. It's been a bad week. Just as simple as that. Because you can't, as much as everyone's begging for this to level out, and it will level out, you still have hot spots in this country, especially New York. I mean, New York State accounts for one half of all the known positives. New York City accounts for more than one third of all the known positives. Washington State, believe it or not, Washington State is starting to level out a little bit. Still not great, but starting to level out a little bit. Of course, California. There are other parts of the country that, yeah, have a few people here and there, but it's not widespread. So it's going to depend on where you're from, what you're doing, and the experience that you've had with this as to how quickly you want to bounce back or you're allowed to get back into your normal routine. But when it comes to teams, you would hope that, for example, if they feel comfortable about it, maybe a two-week mini camp before training camp wouldn't hurt. That's obviously in a brainstorming area. Nobody has, I think, even brought that up yet because nobody's comfortable yet as to when they feel they can get going again. Tony DeFazio, next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great dealership, great service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Larry Anderson coming up in the next half hour. James Franklin's press conference, final half hour. And with that, now we go to Pittsburgh and bring in Tony DeFazio. Tony, first of all, welcome. Great to have you with us. The Steelers have actually made a lot of moves, so let's get right into it, including one where they were able to go out and get another tight end, Eric Ebron. What were your thoughts on that move?
You know, I think it depends on what version they get, right? I mean, two seasons ago, we had an outstanding year, 60-some catches, almost 800 yards receiving, 13 touchdowns. That was, you know, sliced in half last year. He did have some injuries, didn't play every game, and like you said, he had the infamous, get-it-in-gear meeting. That's a concern, certainly, especially when the Steelers were just getting over. You know, they got rid of plenty of those issues before last season, and even though they didn't make the playoffs, I think that was a positive step for the Steelers and for Mike Tomlin and for that locker room. So hopefully this will, you know, there won't be any issues there. But I think when you combine his talents with what Vance McDonald can do and the upgrade in quarterback that will happen, even if Ben Roethlisberger has his worst season, that will be some sort of an upgrade, in who's throwing them the football. I think they've come out of that, you know, pretty well. I think they've upgraded a little bit at tight end. This isn't, I don't think you can count on getting the Ebron of 2 years ago or the guy that Detroit drafted, 6 years ago. But if you can get a guy who can be a solid, reliable tight end and combine him with a healthy Vance McDonald, the potential is there to have a very good wide receiving tandem. A very good receiving tandem at tight end. But there's a lot of ifs there. If Vance McDonald can stay healthy and if you get a relatively decent version of Ebron. So I think they're better at tight end than they were last season. How much better? I guess a lot of that remains to be seen. But again, just the appearance of number 7 under center makes everybody who catches a football a little bit better.
All right. Can I get to Vance McDonald for a moment? I mean, sure. He's been in and out of the lineup. in your opinion, what does he bring to the table? I know he's had moments and flashes, but what do you... to be honest with you, I'll watch him and I'll see him make a couple plays, and then I'll sit back and there'll be long periods of time where you feel like nothing's happening.
Well, he was almost invisible last year, and you can't lay all of that on the quarterbacks. Other guys were making plays, and a tight end at any level, I'm sorry, but it isn't like there's a complicated offense or it's complicated to find the tight end in the Steelers offense. I mean, junior high quarterbacks, middle school quarterbacks can find their tight end. So I'm not buying any kind of an excuse that it was, took some time to get used to the offense, et cetera. In fact, that is usually... if you're having trouble playing the quarterback position, that is your bailout guy almost exclusively across the game. So that, to me, I'm taking that excuse completely off the table. And I guess that is confounding, and that's what San Francisco probably was scratching their head about with him as well, because there were plays 2 years ago where this guy looked like the reincarnation of Rob Gronkowski. He's fast. He can get open. He is very difficult to cover. And when he gets moving, he can be a difficult guy, not just to cover, but also to tackle. I don't remember one of those occasions last year, even when Roethlisberger was healthy, even when McDonald was healthy. I don't remember one of those. It wouldn't shock me if Ebron was the starter, if he started more often than McDonald. The other side of McDonald's, abilities is oftentimes he's too injured to flash, what we were talking about. And maybe that, at the end of the day, is truly the answer. Maybe he's one of those guys that can't play when injured. There are guys like that. If they have an injury, if they're a step slow, they're not good enough to be on the field or to be competitive or to make a difference anymore. And maybe it's that simple. McDonald falls into that kind of a category.
Okay, so now let's get to the next one. Stefan Wisniewski started at left guard for the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots in Minnesota. He started at left guard when the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl over the 49ers. And, of course, Foster has retired. So what were your thoughts on the signing of Steph Wisniewski?
With the money they had, I don't know that they could have done any better. Again, there are guys throughout the history of the NFL that it seems like all they do is win, and then they're always looking for jobs. Wisniewski seems like one of those guys. Certainly, he's well known not just by Steeler fans but by the organization as well. His father's around all the time, as you well know.
Yes.
And this is this is not a guy who is unknown, even though he's never played for the Steelers. He's a guy that they're very comfortable with, very familiar with. And again, every time he plays and starts, teams win Super Bowls. It seems like, certainly, right? Two of the last 3 years. So I don't know that they could have done any better. Replacing Ramon Foster is going to be tough. Foster was one of those unsung guys who just did everything right every snap. He started the fall off for the first time last year, and good for Ramon Foster going out on his own terms rather than have to deal with bouncing around at the end of your career.
Right.
Again, I don't know that they could have done any better here. To me, B.J. Finney, Wisniewski's an upgrade over B.J. Finney, who was certainly good enough, reliable enough. So I think that's an upgrade. Invisibly or quietly, maybe the best upgrade that they've engineered offensively at this point. And there's been a couple, aside from a healthy number seven. And that's obviously going to be the biggest one.
That's the biggest one, no question. Now the trade with the Ravens. They haven't done a trade with the Ravens in 23 years. They get Wormley to bolster their defensive front. They give up, a five for him or something.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's a five next year. I don't even think it's a five this year.
It's a five next year, and they get a seven as well as the player. So.
Right. What were your thoughts on acquiring him? This is not one of those knock it out of the park trades, but what does it do for their depth up front on the defensive side?
He's not going to replace Javon Hargrave. That's certainly not going to happen. But if you can get a steady performer, and this is what this guy is, and if you look at when the Ravens chose to move on from him, probably like a lot of teams do, they had made the decision that he was not going to get offered. He's going into the last year of his rookie contract, so they probably weren't going to bring him back next year, and they decided not to give him that option, that extra year at the end of that rookie contract. So makes sense for the Ravens to move on at this point. And again, to me, it's one of those things that it certainly can't hurt. It does give them some options. It probably gives them a little bit of flexibility when it comes to the draft as well. For anybody who thinks he's going to replace Javon Hargrave, they're I think sorely mistaken. But we've seen signings like this work out. You know, if it's a guy who maybe not necessarily is even going to be counted on to be on the field every snap, it's a veteran guy, a guy who knows the division, a guy who understands what he's expected to do in a Steelers uniform. So probably right to bring him up last. But at the same time, you know, again, I think they are coming out relatively even with the move that they've made over the past couple of days.
What do you think of the revised Steeler philosophy? I mean, they traded up to get Devin Bush. They traded a one to get Micah Fitzpatrick. They may not have been the knock it out of the park in the free agent part, but they've now signed a couple of guys, and they've made this trade. This is a little bit different as to how the Steelers operate. What have you thought of it?
You know, it is, and I think it's interesting, too. I mean, Kevin Colbert has been with the Steelers for, I think it's been 20 years at this point now. And his predecessor, Tom Donahoe, was as good a job as he did. Flexibility was not exactly his strong suit. He was not a guy who could ever veer from, you know, his path. What he wanted to do was set in stone, and that's what they did. Anything that veered from that simply wasn't acceptable. And I think that nowadays, with the salary cap, with the way the game changes almost year to year, or at least a couple of years at a time, you see a change in the philosophy of offenses and defenses and what you can and can't do and the kind of players who you're willing to put in various positions. You know, I think Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin have worked hand-in-hand extremely well there, and I think this is just another example of that. Now, it's easy to say that, you know, in March. You know, let's talk about that in November when we get down to the bread and butter of the season. You know, but again, I think I tip my hat to Kevin Colbert and to the fact that Mike Tomlin is able to work well with him. And you see so many coaches nowadays who sort of demand to be in charge and be the final guy making the decision. I think that you've seen Tomlin and Colbert work pretty well with each other. Usually that's a good thing. Again, in March it looks like it is. You know, get back to me in November. We'll see how well it's actually working on the field.
All right, the quarterback part of it, obviously you've referenced Ben Roethlisberger a couple of times. There's no doubt that a healthy Ben Roethlisberger solves many problems. After watching Mason Rudolph and after watching Duck Hodges, okay, we'll leave that one at, like, just let it lay out there for a moment. Okay. Should they think about a quarterback at not early, but at some point in the draft? Should they think about another one, or are they comfortable enough with what they have there?
You know, they said they were comfortable. I think they had to do that. They got criticized for saying that, but I think that's a heck of a lot better than saying we're extremely uncomfortable with the guys we have. We think they're terrible, and we don't think we can compete with them. You know, that would have been the alternative to saying we're comfortable with our backups. So I don't criticize them for saying that. Now, I just got done praising Kevin Colbert. You know, you talk about taking a quarterback in the draft. Well, they certainly have not done well with that in quite some time. You have to go back to Ben Roethlisberger. So many guys that they drafted that they thought were going to be potential backups, potential heirs, are in the XFL right now, or are, you know, sitting on the bench, you know, watching, you know, Jacksonville shuffle their quarterback deck. There's just players that they have not been able to hit on. So to me, it's questionable whether they're able to be successful in the draft. I would have liked to have seen them sign somebody in free agency, make a trade for somebody, a veteran backup, is someone like a Jameis Winston. But again, that's so easy to say.
Right.
Paying a guy like that it's hard to pay two quarterbacks, two potential starting quarterbacks with the salary cap the way it is. So, you know, I think the Steelers would have loved to have done that, but the fact that they knew they couldn't, yeah, there's no need for them to even discuss it, I think. So, to me, they've got to do something at the quarterback position. They've got to do something soon. I can't imagine going through the season with all the questions on Ben and knowing what you have behind him. I mean, listen, you know, can Mason Rudolph be better than he was in some of his poor games? Yeah, I suppose he can. I don't know if there was a ceiling last year for him. I'm not sure how comfortable you can be with that beyond a game or two at a time. And, you know, Duck Hodges, I mean, again, it was a great story. But if anybody thought it was anything other than a great story that makes you smile, kind of like this might be unfair to Hodges, but kind of like the emergency goalie situation. Those guys aren't going to start next week,
yeah.
You know?
It's true.
So, you know, he's a great great guy in camp, probably a fun guy to be around. It was fun while it lasted, but let's face it, we're talking about NFL quarterbacks here, not guys like Duck Hodges.
What did you think, because it's now been 5 days since or 6 days since the collective bargaining agreement was approved by the players, approved by a 60-vote margin in the end, but it does provide for two extra playoff teams, one in each conference, so one bye in each conference, and eventually, not this year, but eventually a 17th game. What did you think of those two elements together?
You know, I mean, I guess you got to give something to get something. I don't know if I like either just strictly as a fan. Certainly you can understand the addition of a playoff team if you're a player. So many teams have come down to so many difficult situations. You've got to love that.
You're going to get money. I mean,
no question about it. Right.
And not only that, believe it or not, the teams that had the bye before did not get paid for the first round, right? Because they weren't playing.
Very good point. Yep.
Under this contract, the two teams that get the bye, one in each conference, will get money.
I guess that makes it a no-brainer as far as that goes. With the extra playoff team, I am concerned about the extra game.
Yeah.
Not only what it does to the players physically, but are we going to start to see what the NBA's gone down, where you pay money to go see a team play and you get two starters, enjoying the buffet before the game because they're not going to be playing that afternoon or that evening. So, I think you're going to see a decent amount of that. You almost are going to have to, especially. It just rings to me of some level of hypocrisy when we're trying to keep players safe, I don't know that those things make sense that they combine to make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, you know what? Years ago, and this is 15 years ago, when they first brought up the 18-game schedule and knocking out two preseason games. Look, Tony, I was like, oh, hey, great, that makes sense. Hey, that's great. All right. But as time has gone, it's like, don't do that. I mean, by the way, just so you know, the Steelers would have made the playoffs under this.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's too little too late, I guess, as far as those seasons are concerned. But, heck, two seasons ago, you have that that first season tie against the Browns, and you end up 9-6-1. You felt like you had a pretty good team there. The defense was not very good, obviously. But to me, that seemed like a playoff team. Yeah. This past year, the Steelers did not, to me, resemble anything close to a playoff team. And I guess that's why, as a fan, sometimes I feel like a lot of sports leagues just have too many teams that make the playoffs. I'd like to see these long regular seasons maybe mean a little bit more. You have to accomplish a little bit more to get that extra, reward at the end. But, heck, every sport at every level was headed this way, and they all have been. I mean, we're talking about adding more teams to the NCAA tournament and the college football playoff, and you can keep going on and on. There seems to be no talk of going the other way.
Yeah, well, we're going to see more playoff teams, at least this year, should they resume playing again, because they're going to try and get some interest back. I mean, so you're going to...
Sure.
I'm talking about in other sports. Tony, stay safe. It's always, always a pleasure catching up with you.
Always enjoy it, Steve. Have a great weekend and really enjoy talking with you guys. Thanks.
All right, yeah, and we're making the turn toward the weekend. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Thanks so much. Great to hear from him. Next half hour, Larry Anderson on the show. We'll talk with L.A. And in the final half hour, James Franklin's teleconference today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Let's get to the story about Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback at Clemson. He and his girlfriend, Marissa Mowry, tried to do something positive for victims of the global coronavirus pandemic by setting up a GoFundMe account in an attempt to raise money. Turns out that it had to be shut down yesterday, and originally it was thought that the NCAA said to do it. Instead, it was Clemson's compliance department that said. The NCAA did not ask Trevor Lawrence to take down the fundraiser for COVID-19 patients and their families, the NCAA said. We continue to work with member schools so they have the flexibility to ensure that student-athletes and communities impacted by this illness are supported, and we applaud Trevor for his efforts. The Clemson Athletic Department was contacted by the NCAA, and guess what? They said they're going to allow Lawrence and other athletes to raise money for charities. Lawrence on his Instagram page said, shout out to the NCAA. Thank you all for so much for granting a waiver. They're allowing us to continue to raise money for what we wanted to do originally. So we're going to take some time and kind of think of what to do and restart it up again.
Yeah, well done by the NCAA there.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, first of all, student athletes are like anybody else. They should be allowed to raise money. Okay? Maybe not, you know, that's a GoFundMe page, so maybe that's, you know, but there should be a way to do this. They actually, in the short period of time they added up, they raised $2,500. And so they're going to take that $2,500 and they're going to put it to Meals on Wheels and also No Kid Hungry. So they're going to, that's at least the start of it. And they all did that in about 24 hours. And then Lawrence said, hey, look, we're really sorry for all the drama and all the confusion, but we got it worked out. And that's the great part. They got it all out. The page is called Love One Another. They stopped receiving donations on Tuesday, and it turned out they had raised $2,670 for COVID-19 family relief and support. So there you go. So they're allowed to do it, and that's the good part. I mean, you're right. But the NCAA evidently was not the one that said, yo, it was, once again, it's compliance.
Yeah, a lot of people jump to conclusions about that, Steve, thinking, oh, boy, NCAA screws somebody over again trying to do something nice. But, yeah, it was Clemson.
No, it was actually, but again, you're sitting there in the compliance department, and you're trying to come up with an answer. Now, in the end, you do have to check with the NCAA for the answer. Kayvon Walker, who played at Maryland, so he played against Penn State, actually got off to a great start in the XFL. He was leading the XFL in sacks with 4.5 with the New York Guardians. He has signed a 1-year contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Kayvon Walker, I thought he was a good player when he was at Maryland. 4.5 sacks to lead the XFL through 5 games with the New York Guardians. He has signed a 1-year deal to play with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So there's more depth on that defensive line. The loss Hargrave to the Philadelphia Eagles. Larry Anderson next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.